I mentioned a few minutes ago how much I appreciate the cooperation of our elders. Just to give you another illustration, a few minutes ago I was meeting with them, and I suggested that because we have so many activities going on today, many of them involving our young people, that we make this service a little shorter tonight. And you'd be surprised how quickly they agreed. It's just wonderful to have cooperation like that. But we do try to take into consideration everything that's going on. On Sunday, about the best thing to do is to come to the church building prepared to stay all day. There'll be something going on, but aren't you glad? A dead congregation doesn't have anything going on, and we are grateful for everything that's taking place. You might turn in your Bibles to John 18. We'll be looking at a passage there in just a moment. I introduced to you this morning the idea that during the summer months, I want to bring some lessons that are centered around what Jesus said. Now, I'm doing this because there are those who are saying that what Jesus said is more inspired than what others in the Bible said. We don't believe that. We believe the entire Bible is inspired. However, I'm convinced, and the more I study, the more I'm convinced, that if we didn't have anything except what Jesus said, we could learn the truth. We could know what Jesus teaches about the church, about Christian living, about worship. In fact, I already have about 10 sermons pretty well prepared in this group, and I'm working on several others. I'm going to have a variety of lessons, some dealing with attitudes, some with basic teachings. But we want to go back and see what Jesus said and see if we can learn the truth from what he said. I used the word truth in that last sentence. I hope you noticed the word truth in the last song that we sang. Because tonight our lesson is dealing with Jesus and the truth, Jesus and the Word, and what he had to say about it. In the 38th verse of this chapter, we have a question that is asked by Pilate. This is not written in red. But Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? But I want you to notice the verse just before that. Where Pilate had said, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Is truth attainable? Is truth understandable? Is there such a thing as truth? Is there such a thing as a standard that shows us what truth is and the difference between what is right and what is wrong, between truth and error? I believe we can look at what Jesus said and understand the answer to that series of questions. It is interesting to see what is said about Jesus. Of course, what's said about Jesus is not written in red, but it's in the section where he is speaking. You remember John 1 says he was the Word and was in the beginning with God. Verse 14 said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Verse 17 says that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, if truth came by Jesus Christ, it just stands to reason that we ought to have a better understanding of truth if we understand what Jesus said. Most of you could quote John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Was not Jesus teaching there that what he was the truth, and what he said was the truth, and that there's only one true way to come to God? I believe that's what he's teaching in that wonderful passage. For just a few minutes tonight, let's look at some of the specific points that Jesus made concerning the truth. And as we look at these verses, you'll notice that the word truth, or the word word, which is used to refer to the Word of God, is used in these passages. In John, the 17th chapter, and verse 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, doesn't that say that truth exists? Thy word is truth. If you back up just one chapter, if you're following, to the 16th chapter, verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. Now, did you notice what he said? He's talking to the apostles particularly. He's talking to them of how the Holy Spirit is going to come and guide them into writing God's word, into knowing God's word, and being able to preach God's word. And he says, when he even calls the Spirit of truth, And he said he's going to guide you into all truth. If you were to read the 14th, 15th, and 16th chapters of John, that's the 16th where we were noticing verse 13. If you were to read those three chapters, you would have a detailed explanation of how the Spirit was going to come and help them remember the things that Jesus had taught them. But not only that, would show them things that would happen in the future, where Jesus could make this statement here that he's going to guide you into all truth. The world says truth does not exist, or at least truth is not absolute, and that truth is relative to the circumstances of the time. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And the Holy Spirit is going to guide the apostles into all truth. I believe that proves to us that truth exists. Jesus also emphasizes that truth lasts. In Matthew 24:35, he said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Now, if the word of God is truth, as we've just seen, and that word is never going to change and never going to pass away, that is proof that is going to last. Jesus addressed this subject on another occasion at John 12:48. He was referring to the person who rejected him and wouldn't receive his word. And he said, "He that receiveth not my word, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Truth exists. There is such a thing as truth, as opposed to error and that which is not right. Jesus identifies what that is, and then he gives us the lasting effect of that truth. It is interesting to note also in passing that this is exactly what Jesus preached. This is not written and read, but it is said about Jesus in Mark the 2nd chapter and verse 2 that he preached the word. What was he preaching as he went about? He was preaching the truth. He was in a preparatory state for the coming of the kingdom and the new covenant. New dispensation. What was he preaching? He preached the word, Mark 2 and verse 2 said. And it is said to him in Matthew 22:16, "You are true and teach the way of God in truth." The folks recognized at that time, even some of them who didn't want to agree with him, that he had a message to deliver. And that message, according to him, in his words that are written in red, was the truth. It was the word of God. It's rather interesting that Jesus uses this truth even to prove his own deity. In John the 5th chapter, beginning at verse 31 and going through verse 39, we have a section again that all of it is in red if you're reading from a red letter edition. And Jesus talks about bearing witness to himself in verse 31. And he says, if I just bear witness of myself, then it wouldn't be true. He's concerned about it being true. So he goes ahead and says, there's another witness. John bears witness of me. John was teaching the truth. In fact, verse 33, "Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth." As he's talking about his deity. Comes down to the greater witness than this, the works which he has performed. Verse 36, "The Father himself that sent me hath borne witness." Verse 37, "Ye have not his word abiding in you, by whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures." Here's God's written word. In this particular place, of course, it refers to the Old Testament scriptures. "Search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Jesus said, people are not going to believe me if I just claim to be the Son of God. One witness is not enough. He himself emphasized at the mouth of two or three witnesses things would be established. But he said, let me give you the other witnesses. There's John, who preached the truth. Part of that truth, he's indicating, was the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. And he said, you have seen evidence of what I do to prove it to you, that the truth exists, and that I am the true Son of God. And he said, my Father claimed it. And then he said, on top of that, you go back to the written word. You search the scriptures that have been written, and you'll find in them the evidence that I am the Son of God. So when Jesus came to the point of proving his deity and emphasizing that he was the Son of God, where did he turn? He turned to the truth. And he knew that as long as he depending on the truth and the word of God as it was given, that he had the evidence of who he was and what he was as far as mankind is concerned. But it's also interesting to note that in passages written in red, Jesus suggests to us that we are to be guided by the truth in everything that we do. For example, in John 8:32, you know it by heart. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He said in the verse just before that, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Jesus said, if you want freedom, real freedom, and you want a way to be guided in what you do in daily living, he said, you turn to the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And there is another very important point made in that verse, and that is that the truth is something that can be known. How many times have we heard people in the last few years say, well, you really don't know what the truth is. Maybe it hasn't all been revealed. And there are other passages that back this up in such a wonderful way, but if you didn't have anything except this passage, Jesus said, ye shall know the truth. Can it be known? He said, you know it. Can it do something for us? He said, it'll make you free. It will give you the guidelines that you need to get rid of sin and the problems associated with it and to be free from that sin. He also tells us in other passages that we can use that truth to know how to worship. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in truth and in spirit. If we didn't have anything except that passage, we would have a general idea of the fact that our worship is to be directed to God, and that we are to be concerned about pleasing God and not pleasing ourselves when we worship. That God is higher than us, and that we are to direct our worship in his direction. When he says that worship is to be in truth, that indicates to us that there has been something revealed, that we do have some guidelines to tell us what's right in worship and what God wants and what is pleasing to him when we worship him, even on occasions such as this. And then there's one of those statements as Jesus was answering the devil that sort of tells us that there is truth to guide us. You remember he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus was saying there's something in the Bible, there's something in the Word of God that can help us to live. There are many other passages where he directs life. He came to give life and give it more abundantly. John 10:10, that's written in red also. But here he says, every man shall live by the word of God, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus is saying there is truth, and we have that truth that can guide us so that we can know how to live, how to worship, and how to serve. Jesus said truth exists, truth will last, truth can be known, truth will make you free. Truth proves his identity as the Son of God, and truth gives us the guidelines for life. But you know, I think one of the greatest passages that emphasizes the attitude that Jesus had toward truth, especially written truth, is in Matthew 4, where he was tempted of the devil. You remember the story? You know the three occasions? The devil said, make these stones bread. And then the other two are interchangeable, or at least different in one coming before the other in Matthew's account in Luke, but the same two occasions at least. One of them was, get up on the pinnacle of the temple and cast yourself down and he'll keep you from being harmed. The other one was, I'll give you all these lands if you'll fall down and worship me. Now here is Jesus, the Son of God. If there's ever been a person who could have said and might have said, listen, let me tell you who I am and what I say about it, it would have been Jesus. But you know what he did? He quoted scripture. He turned to the truth that had been written. He turned to those Old Testament scriptures that had already been written. And he quoted from the 8th chapter of Leviticus the first time and from the 6th chapter of Leviticus the next two times. He didn't even quote in order out of Leviticus. He reached back and picked out what he needed to meet the devil on that occasion. When I hear people today say that we need to quit quoting scripture and we need to quit giving book, chapter, and verse, that we need to be more concerned about polishing sermons, I think of how Jesus answered the devil. When Jesus was tempted of the devil in those three different ways, he turned to that which is written. He turned to the truth. And when he had given those three answers, the devil left him at least for a season. Folks, we need to get back to the basic attitude that Jesus had toward the truth, toward the Word of God. He teaches us, and if we didn't have anything except what's written and read, look what we've established tonight, and we haven't gone to the epistles. We've gone to what's written and read, what Jesus taught himself. He said, truth exists. Truth will last. You can know it, and you can be guided by it if you'll just turn to it and use it. May God help us to turn more to the Word of God, to understand what the truth is, and put it into our lives on a daily basis. And when you turn to the truth of Jesus, even that which is written in red, you're still going to find the same answer when it comes to what we need to do to be Christians and to live the Christian life. You can still find, if you didn't have anything except what's written in red, hear the Word, believe the Word, repent of sins, confess the deity of Christ, and be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins, and live the Christian life. It's all there, written in red, and it's still true today. If you need to be baptized into Christ, if you need to return, won't you come as together we stand and sing.
Fold of safety, where there is rest and room, come in the strength of man.